All right, thank you for that introduction. As he said, my name is Todd Spivey from NC State University in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm going to be talking today on the value of irrigation to cotton producers in North Carolina and the Upper Southeast. The site that we've conducted our study has been in drip irrigation since about 2001. Since that time, we've had cotton on that field, not always the entire field, but in some form in all but 2 years. This table shows in the left-hand column the years in which cotton was planted, rainfall totals in centimeters, our rainfall plus irrigation totals, and then our non-irrigated and our irrigated yields from 2001 to 2013. Difference in yields are denoted by an asterisk in the far right column, but also by the red highlighted rainfall totals. And I did that so we can look closely at that and we can still tell the difference when we had a difference. So looking at that rainfall totals, the biggest trends that we had so far at this site, with the exception of 2011, when we receive about 35 centimeters or less, we tend to see an increase in yields with irrigation. Conversely, in years where we see about 45 centimeters of rain or more, we do not see an increase in yield with irrigation. So as I've just mentioned, prior research has shown that irrigation can increase yields in North Carolina, but more importantly, it can stabilize yields for us in years where we receive sporadic or below average rainfall. Even so, according to the USDA Ag Census in 2012, only about 2% of our cotton acreage in North Carolina is irrigated compared to the national average of 39%. We've also seen that planting date and variety both play a large, have a large effect on development, maturity, and final yield of cotton. And we also seen that late season varieties tend to be less negatively affected by environmental stresses such as drought than early season varieties. So the objective of this study was to perform a field experiment to investigate the impact of irrigation on developmental rates, growth, and yield of early and mid-maturing cotton varieties planted in early and late May and also in early June. Our hypothesis was that irrigation will increase cotton yields across planting date as well as across variety. So this test has been conducted for 2 years now in 2014 and 15 at the Peanut Belt Research Station in Lewiston, North Carolina, and this test is conducted on a Norfolk sandy loam. Now, as I mentioned, this site has been under drip irrigation since 2001, but prior to the 2014 growing season, the entire system was replaced. About 13 years was the life of the system. So the pump and tape was replaced going into the 2014 growing season. Our plots were 4 rows wide, about 3.5 meters by about 12 meters long. So we designed this test as a split plot treatment with 5 replications. Our whole plot treatments were irrigation, and that was either drip irrigation or no irrigation. And then our subplots were a factorial of variety and planting date. The varieties we chose were phytogen 333 for an early season variety and then phytogen 499 for a mid to late season variety. In 2014, we planted May 5th, May 20th, and June 3rd for our early, middle, and late planting date. And then in 2015, May 6th, May 21st, and June 8th. Now in 2014, the harvest season was such that we felt comfortable waiting for all three planting dates to mature before harvesting without the threat of reduced fiber quality or loss in yield. In 2015, however, we did not have such luxury. Due to weather concerns, we had to hand harvest each planting date as soon as it was ready. So the May 6th planting date was hand harvested October 9th. And then again, due to further rainfall events and weather concerns, we had to harvest the second and third planting dates together on October 29th. These means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD with an alpha 0.05. We measured plant heights weekly throughout the season, and we subjected this data to regression procedures for plant height versus days after planting. 4 plant samples were taken throughout the year at Pinhead Square, First Bloom, First Open Bowl, and then again at defoliation. We took 1 total meter worth of row, 1/2 meter from each of the 2 center rows, and we separated the leaves, stems, and fruit and we dried it all at 100 degrees until dry. Now in 2015, we changed things up just a little bit. Of that same meters row, we only separated three plants down into leaf, stem, and fruit. And from these leaves, we also determined leaf area, which we will not be discussing today. But the rest of the data was subjected to regression procedures for whole plant dry weight versus days after planting, and then fruiting structure dry weight versus days after planting. Beginning in late 2015, we began to take soil water content using a PR26 profile probe. We took stand counts at the beginning of the year, noted weekly growth stages, and then also determined nodes above white bloom throughout the year. The data on this slide won't be presented today again in the interest of time. This picture was taken August 5th, 2015, and if my cursor will come up, there it is. I really want to point out this plot here on the left in the front and this plot here on the right in the front. Both of these plots were planted the same day, May 21st. They were both planted with the same variety, phytogen 333. The only difference in these two plots, or the plot on the left, was irrigated compared to the plot on the right, which was not. You can note here the difference in plant height and canopy. Now this table is set up just like the table I showed you on the first slide. We're just now looking at the 2 years of our study, 2014 and 15. In 2014, we received about 67 centimeters of rain, and we did not see a difference in yield. In 2015, however, we only received about 32 centimeters of rain over the growing season, and our non-irrigated cotton yielded only 534 kilograms, compared to the irrigated plots, almost doubling that at 1,054. Now, there was no interaction between planting date and tillage. However, we did see some trends that we want to watch going forward, so we thought it would be interesting to show the data this way as well. This graph shows kilograms or hectare and for lint yields on the y-axis, and then year, as I said, by planting date on the x. The blue bars represent irrigated cotton, and the red bars represent the non-irrigated. In 2014, as mentioned on the last slide, we saw no yield differences. But in 2015, what I want to point out is the irrigated cotton, the first planting date, out-yielded the second and third. In non-irrigated cotton, however, the third planting date had a slight edge to the first and second. This is probably due to late season rainfall events that occurred after the first and second planting date had already cut out. Now the next three slides I'm going to show you are three sets of regressions. They're all going to be set up very similar, so I'm going to go through the explanation here at the first, and then I'll give a minor explanation as we go through the next two. On the y-axis here, we're looking at plant heights in centimeters over date on the x-axis. The black dots represent the irrigated cotton compared to the white dots of the non-irrigated cotton. Each planting date is represented. The early planting date, 2015, is on the top, the second planting date in the middle, and the late planting date at the bottom. Now, all of these regressions were significant. 5 of 6 were fitted to cubic functions, and the non-irrigated cotton on May 6 was fitted to a quadratic function. We can see here that the irrigated cotton had greater plant heights across all three planting dates, with that being less pronounced at the third. As I said, this slide is set up very similar. The only difference is now we're looking at whole plant dry weights on the y-axis. All of the regressions were significant, and 5 of 6 were fitted to quadratic functions, and the non-irrigated second planting date was fitted to a linear function. And again, we see the same trends as we have with yield and plant heights. The irrigated cotton had greater whole plant dry weights, and that difference being less pronounced at the third planting date. And again, now we're looking at fruiting dry weights. Again, everything is set up the same. All 6 of these regressions are significant. The first two planting dates are fitted to quadratic functions, and the third planting date fitted to linear functions. And again, just like with yield and plant heights and whole plant dry weights, we see the irrigated cotton had greater fruiting structure dry weights, with that difference being less pronounced at the third planting date. Now, this table probably looks familiar to you. This is the same table I showed you at the beginning of the presentation. The only difference is now we are looking at, the only difference is now I have added 2014 and 2015 down at the bottom. The trends from 2014 and 15 match up exactly with what we've seen since 2001. In 2014, as I mentioned, receiving 67 centimeters of rain, we saw no difference. In 2015, however, receiving only about 32 centimeters, there was a great difference in yield by irrigation. So to pull all this back together, in 2014, when rainfall exceeded 65 centimeters, there were no difference between irrigated and non-irrigated plots amongst any of the data we collected. In 2015, however, just the opposite, with only about 32 centimeters of rainfall, yields were increased with irrigation, plant heights, whole plant dry weights, and fruiting dry weights were all increased with irrigation compared to non-irrigated. Also, our varieties did not differ in most of the data collected due to irrigation or planting date in either year. So as we saw just in prior research, the irrigation can stabilize cotton yields in North Carolina, especially in those years receiving below average rainfall. And we also found that though variety selection and planting date both play a major part in final yield, irrigation can increase yields compared to non-irrigated cotton, regardless of variety selection or planting date. This study will be continued in 2016. And in 2016, we will also be collecting soil water content throughout the year to help evaluate cotton water use differences between irrigation and non-irrigated plots. These sources were used in gathering information for this presentation. I need to thank the staff at the Peanut Belt Research Station, our technician Shep Lassiter, our helper Bradley Wilson, and my graduate committee. I need to thank Cotton Incorporated and the North Carolina Cotton Producers Association for support for my project. And that will conclude my remarks for this morning, and with that, I will take any questions. Yes, sir.
I know that in 2014 you didn't see, obviously, a lot of yield differences. Did you see differences in fiber maturity based on the different planting dates and the different irrigation treatments in your study?
The question was, even though we didn't receive or we didn't see any yield differences in 2014, did we see any maturity differences between the planting dates and irrigation? As far as irrigation goes, no, we did not. As far as the planting date goes, between the planting dates, there were some differences, but as far as the time it took to reach these samples that we took, the Pinhead Square, first bloom, first open bowl, they pretty well lined up with each other as far as days after planting, although we didn't analyze that. Yes, sir?
I think you
mentioned
fiber quality, like
microphone. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, fiber quality. I haven't analyzed any of that data. We did send samples off for that data, but I have not analyzed any of that. Yes, sir?
I want to congratulate you on your presentation, first of all. And I also want to ask you a question about your results from this year. I noticed that your bar graph, rain fed, seems to have outperformed irrigated cotton this year. Did I see that correctly on your graph?
No, sir. In 2014, so when the graph was set up, 2014 was on the left side of the graph. In 2014, when we received about 67 centimeters of rainfall, there was some non-irrigated plots that numerically out-yielded the irrigated, but there was no significance there. In 2014, the non-irrigated did yield much less.
Okay, so what is your opinion about our abilities to schedule irrigation in years where we have adequate rainfall, when we have rain-fed plots that do as well as our irrigated plots?
The question was, what is my opinion on our ability to schedule irrigation, especially in years where we do receive enough rainfall? As far as this test went, we weren't necessarily irrigating on a schedule or on the Chaitlet method or anything. Our method of irrigation was that we irrigated 0.2 inches a day, 5 days a week. The only time we did not do that is if we received a rainfall event during that day of at least 0.2 inches, or if we received a rainfall event of a half inch, then we would not irrigate for the next 3 days. But as far as your question goes, it is a tough situation for growers, but I believe that the use of scheduling can really help those growers out, because even that 67 centimeters of rainfall, even though over the whole growing season it turned out to be enough, there's going to, in North Carolina generally, there's going to be some point throughout the year, regardless of how much we're getting, where that cotton is under drought stress, whether that be for a week period or 2 week period between two or three major rainfall events. It could still be useful for growers, even though the total may not show that. There are going to be times throughout the year where growers could use it.
Okay, Todd.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.